Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nose.
I'm Onique.
Yeah, quite overwhelmed. There's a lot to talk about. But you know what? I'm looking at the time, and I think we got this, bud. I think we got this.
I was, like, driving home, and then two new things came out within, like, the same hour before we sat down and hit the record button.
Yeah.
So I was trying to get the information all in one place without being like, oh, I think I heard this and that, or it's unconfirmed. Mm-hmm. No, we've got the news, the actual factual news.
And what's crazy is it used to be Magic the Gathering news would hit right around Thursdays. And if you remember, the Cryptic Commander used to come out on Thursdays. You remember?
I don't quite remember. I never really paid attention when any podcast releases. It's just, all right, what's next? I look at my queue and I'm like, oh, I just picked
up. Yeah. Yeah, I got you. Like a little notification squad, right?
Yeah.
So, like we do every week, you're going to start us off with Card of the Week, and it's a doozy this week. What do you got?
It's quite relevant with the Pro Tour that just happened. Not a new card, but we'll call it a game-winning card. Archangel of Wrath. This is from Dominaria United. 2 white-white creature angel. It's a 3/4 flying lifelink kicker, black and or red. When Archangel of Wrath enters the battlefield, if it was kicked, it deals 2 damage to any target. When Archangel of Wrath enters the battlefield, if it was kicked twice, it deals 2 damage to any target. So if you only pay the kicker of black or red, only one of these is going to trigger and you do 2 damage. So if you want both of them to trigger, you need to pay both, which sounds self-explanatory. But the damage that Archangel Wrath deals through the ETB kicker part is going to gain you life from the lifelink. So you are paying like 6 mana for, maybe kill 2 things or deal 4 damage to your opponent and they gain 4 life. But you still got a creature that it leaves behind. It's going to gain some life. It's going to swing the tide of the game around. And this was in the tournament winning deck that was, sorry, let me do that. And this card was all over the place in the game winning archetype domain ramp. Okay, so have you played with this card? Well, I don't know if you played with this, John, have you?
No, I haven't played with this card. I'm just reading it though. It's like, this is beautiful, It's 3/4 body for 4, but with flying and lifelink, that's what's good, right?
That by itself right there, 3/4 flying lifelink for 4 mana is a pretty good rate.
I can see this being confusing to a new person because it's like if you kick it, it does 2 damage to any target, but if you kick it twice, it does 2 damage to any target. What's the difference, right? So yeah. What they're saying is you get a black kick for 2 damage and or red kick for 2 damage. So you can do technically 4 damage to any 2 targets or the same.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're going to be playing this at sorcery speed, which isn't bad,
No, it's fine.
I don't think cheating it out will even be too much more beneficial. No, don't get me wrong. It would be beneficial to flash this out, but there's no need to. And if it's winning already as it is, it's something to look out for.
I mean, if you want to cheat it out, you're not going to be able to use the kicker. Flashing, I mean, you need to cast this in order to get the kicker opportunities. And this is not multi-kicker. You cannot play black twice to try to get the kick twice part because it has to be separate. So you do need access to 3 colors or at least access to red and or black to get the maximum value out of this card.
If not, you're just getting a 3/4.
Yeah.
With flying and lifelink. And that is your card of the week this week. So, movers and shakers. If you remember last week, you and I were going to make some predictions. And we're going to get to that in a second or two.
The predictions is really me picking 2 cards that did not appear on this list.
Well, I think we were talking about that one blue card too, right?
Well, yes, but that was last week's. top mover.
Was it last week's top mover? I thought we were going to see it in Movers and Shakers. Maybe it was last week's top mover. But I know that, okay, I think the deal was it going to be in one of the winning decks? Or was it going to change the meta, right? Or no, I think you said have it in the top decks. Not top decks, Movers and Shakers.
Or maybe I did say it. I forget. I say a lot of things sometimes.
Either way, starting us off this week with some cheap pickups like we always do. Branching Evolution, $3.20. It's stabilizing. Another one, Lord of the Void. This one's Retro Frame, $4.15. Slowly moving down.
You see this graph, how the pre-sale had it for $75?
Yeah.
On January 6th, it was $75. And then January 13th, it was already at $6.
Yeah. I mean,
that's ridiculous.
It's got a really powerful ability on paper, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure the card was popular at this time. Just, I don't know about the pre-sale, man.
Yeah. At any rate, the last cheap pickup this week, Bloodghast. It's $4.58. Moving up. Now, before I get on to the top three this week, Onique, I want you to recognize there is a pattern. The pattern I want you to recognize is just how much percentage these cards have gone up in 1 week. So, Norn the Wary, number three this week. It's $17.12. It's number three. It's up 163%. That's the number I want you to pay attention to. Number two this week, Grima, Saruman's Footman. So I'm going to guess it's going to come from Lords of the Ring, right? Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
$4.97. It's up 234%. But number one this week, we got some things to talk about with this guy. But number one, Skorpek Lord. It's $5.98. Doesn't seem like much. But you know what? Listeners, it went up 1,323%. What was this guy sitting at? He was sitting at 53 cents.
On April 21st, I'm showing 43 cents.
Mm-hmm.
And the very next day, $7.97. Maybe
This guy's good. This guy's good. Hold on, you know. Well, I remember you talking about Simulacrum Synthesizer.
Yeah, So I remember I mentioned a legacy deck that Affinity. Yeah.
It
was Simulacrum Synthesizer. Okay,
it was. Yep.
And the deck ran both Skorpath Lord and Sicarian Infiltrator, along with like a few other things here and there. But these two cards specifically are the ones from the Warhammer 40K stuff. Skorpath Lord is rare for what it's worth, and the other one, Sicarian Infiltrator, is uncommon, but they're all from the pre-con, so I don't know how much the rarity really matters. Still, like, dude, Sicarian Infiltrator also went from like $1, $2 to 15 or so. So this card also would have been, I guess, number one, but since they both went up for the same reasons, I suppose they just picked the cooler one.
Yeah.
Maybe the other one went up 1,200%, while this one went up 1,300%, you know?
Yeah. I mean, this week's, Synthesizer went up 166% to $48.01. So it's still climbing.
Yeah, it did drop. Oh, actually, wow. Yeah. If you look at the little chart on Simulacrum Synthesizer,
mm-hmm.
on April 20th, it was around $17. And on 22nd, it was 72.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not up 1,000%, because otherwise this card would be like $10,000 or whatever the math is. I can't do math like right now.
Right.
But it did come back down a little. Still, it's around $40 compared to 17. So it's up a little bit over 200%. But comparatively, when you're talking about it, something that went up, you know, 1,300%. Yeah, that's for number one.
Those are your movers and shakers powered by mtgstocks.com. Kind of hit it.
As you can tell, we're kind of going at a slightly quicker rate because I do want to talk a good amount about the pro tour that happened over the weekend of Thunder Junction. Did you catch? I don't know how much of it you watched.
None of it. Yep. I know it was going on and I wanted to. I just got so busy at the store, dude. It was really hectic. Just the first day going in, you know.
This is probably the most I've ever watched of it. Really? I usually pay attention to like who's making top eight, the metagame, this and that, but I also watched a lot of it. It started on Friday, and it was actually really slow at work, to where I was watching the stream without any audio because my work computer has no speakers.
It's funny that you say this because I usually watch all of them from head to toe. And I have it like on my phone, whatever it takes. So to see you do this is kind of cool. Go ahead.
Yeah, I did it at work. And at some point, my manager literally just came up and, or my boss or whatever. And he saw me watching it, but he asked like, you know, about just work. And I said, yeah, everything is done. This is done. That is done. Even that's done. And he just said, okay. And he just walked away. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to keep watching. I watch. Yeah. So,
veg out on your YouTube shorts. Whatever you got to do, kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so Friday. So it was split format between limited and or draft rather and standard. Friday it was eight rounds, three rounds of draft, five rounds of standard. Saturday it's the same thing. And then at the end of Saturday to cut the top eight. So let's go over the metagame breakdown. Out of a little bit over 200 competitors, again, this is standard. Esper mid-range was 31% of the field, so about a third. Second most popular deck was Boros Convoke at around 10% representation. After that, it kind of started scaling down. Teamer Analyst at 9%, Four Color Legends at 8%, Domain Ramp at around 7%, Azorius Control 5%, and I'm not going to bother reading the rest, which rest of it comprises about 25-30% because none of those made top eight. So, what did make top eight? Well, I'll tell you. Out of the top eight decks, there were two Esper Midrange. There were two Four Color Legends. And then one of each of Boros Convoke, Azorius Control, Teamer Analyst, Domain Ramp.
Only two Four Color Legends? Only two? Yes. So there's at least three.
No, and I'm kind of glad there wasn't any singular deck that was triple represented represented in the top eight.
Yeah.
Because to me, six different decks in the top eight is diverse.
It's healthy, you know?
Yeah.
And like I've been saying for a minute, it's the healthiest it's been in a long time.
At a glance, when you see one third of the meta on the same deck, it's just like, is this a problem? Turns out it's not. If you're watching coverage, you might see it come up a lot, but coverage was really good, and they did a great job of displaying different decks here and there. There was actually a good amount of spicy brews, including a caustic Bronco Orzhov hit you in the face for 15 and still attack deck.
Nice.
Did you? Oh yeah. So I just want to bring that up real quick. Caustic Bronco. So Caustic Bronco, that's one of my favorite cards from the set. This is your Shadow Mage Infiltrator. Not a Shadow Mage Infiltrator. Dark Confident. 2/2 for 2. When it attacks, you look at the top card and put it in your hand. Sorry, you reveal the top card, put it in your hand, and you lose life equal to its mana value. But if Caustic Bronco is saddled, your opponent loses that life instead. So naturally, you're thinking, what's the biggest mana value that you could find? Well, that card is Shadow of Mortality. Remember this goofy card from Streets of New Capenna?
No, not really. Oh, yeah, I do now. Because we did the pack battles, and it was
black. Black 13.
Yep, I remember now.
This is a 15 mana bad spell. It says if your life total is less than half... Sorry, if your life total is less than your starting life total, this spell costs X less to cast, where X is a difference.
I remember winning pack battles.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a what's that, the one black mana 13/13?
Death Shadow.
It's kind of like a Death Shadow, but instead it starts off with a really high cost and gets reduced instead of like it getting -X equal to your life total, whatever. Still, the whole game plan is to have Caustic Bronco on top of the library, and then you attack with Caustic Bronco. Sorry, you have Shadow of Mortality on top of your deck, attack with Caustic Bronco, reveal it 13 to your opponent's face. How do you do that? You spoke about this card the other day, Insatiable Avarice. That's the one from the new set, Thunder Junction, of course, where it's one black mana. You pay two. It has spree, so you can pay two to search your library for a card, shuffle it, and put it on top. So you're putting Shadow Brutality on top, go to combat, and you lose a bunch of life. That's a combo deck. I mean, it had an Orzhov shell, like a mid-range shell, so you can do some obnoxious things. But that was one of the combo decks that actually had a really good burn win rate because people weren't prepared for it. Because how are you going to like really manipulate the top of your library? I mean, of course, you could remove the creature. But if you're not ready for the combo, you're going to lose to it a lot.
Well, you want your opponents to not be ready for that combo. You know?
Right.
But yeah, it's a part of the game of Magic.
But that was like one of the new decks that came out. But besides that, in the final two, it was actually in the top four were three Japanese players, in Yoshihiko Ikawa, Takumi Matsuda, and Yuta Takahashi. Yuta's our world champion, don't forget, or the prior world champion. And then the other one was the German Arnie Huschenbeth. In the end, it was their best friends of Yoshihiko Ikawa versus Yuta Takahashi. And Yoshihiko took it all with Domain Ramp. So he is the Pro Tour winner. He won again with Domain Ramp. That featured card of the week, Archangel of Wrath. That's why I picked it.
Oh, nice.
Okay. So it was, yeah, the whole event was really nice. The games are interesting. The meta was diverse. Coverage was great. Like, head to toe, this was a very, very enjoyable thing.
I am really sorry to break in like this, but we actually have breaking news.
Okay.
This is just literally in. My phone's going crazy. Apparently, a Black Lotus just sold for $3 million.
Yep. This is one of the things I was scrambling to try to organize to make sure this wasn't some weird meme or joke or, you know, like I was trying to get verification on this, and there's been enough sources that I trust that, yes, this is legit. It's not just a Black Lotus sold for $3 million. It's a pristine 10 alpha Black Lotus.
Oh, that's going to be like the first ever printing of it. And in a pristine 10, like a gem mint 10.
So CGC is the company that graded it. And they do have records of things that were graded. CGC has not graded a gem mint 10. I don't know what the difference between that is and a pristine 10.
Okay.
But this is a pristine 10. This is the highest card. Let's say the highest non-sports card they have ever graded. That part is factual.
Yeah, I know that they do great with Pokemon cards because other companies are starting to do a process that CGC has implemented a long time ago, that there's any like infractions with the card, if that makes sense. Like if it's a ghost rare or a blue rare or a gray rare.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they'll if there's any, you know, irregularities with the card, CGC will put it on the case.
Yeah.
So there's certain companies that are starting to do it. Like Beckett, I think, is starting to do it. And it takes a lot of money and resources to make that program happy with those grading companies. Because for eons, they've been grading it 1 through 10, you know. And then they start doing pluses and stuff, minuses.
Oh, right. Yeah. I what you mean.
Yeah, but now CGC for the last couple of decades has been doing a program where if there's any irregularities with a Pokemon card, it'll be on that cover with the case, the gem case, you know. And now other companies are starting to follow their lead, which is good. And those companies have been in the business longer than CGC.
Because you can have a card that has like no scratches, no dents, like a perfect, perfect, clean card, but it's slightly off center.
Yeah. Whoops. You know? Yeah, whoops. You know? or something else. It's yeah, exactly. So there you go. There you have
it. Little things here and there. The person. So this is not from Post Malone. He did not get this card.
It's this almost is, like, did he set the bar at 2.5 with one ring? You know,
kind of. I don't know if this is something that, you know, I'm going to break this record by spending $3 million.
Think about it. I mean, when's somebody else going to break this record? It's going to be hard to break that record unless somebody buys the 1996 World Champion card.
Well, we also didn't think the one ring would be broken for a while because that was.
Yeah.
What, just literally last year, less than 12 months ago.
It was broken so quick, like maybe a week after the product launched, and everybody was like, they're going to wait until the end. They're going to make us buy Prada. It was the other way around. It was really random.
You mean the finding of the one ring?
Yeah, the finding of the one ring, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how soon after when this set released or how soon after the guy came out and said, yeah, I have it. But, I mean, either way, the one ring is now old news. Post Malone is old news.
You know what is now? You know what's new news?
What?
Secret Lair window. You know, every time I look, Onique, they got a new Secret Lair, and I stopped ordering them for the local game store that I work at. Just, there's so many Secret Lair products there that we still have to sell. And it just seems like, I know that we're going to miss out. I've been missing out on a couple of them too throughout life, but the ones I don't miss out on are the ones that donate money to a good cause, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a new one that just came out. I think word of it started traveling yesterday.
It's not out yet.
No, but word start traveling that it's coming out.
Oh,
yesterday.
Sure.
Yeah. And this one flew under my radar until this morning, and that's when I shared the information with you. And I don't know how to pronounce it, so I'm gonna let you take care of it.
Hatsune Miku is the I know of the character. I've seen it several times. I don't know if the hair is supposed to be green or blue. Like I don't know. But apparently it's a singing android character.
Huh. I have no idea.
Like I'm sure I sound like a clown to some people who know everything about Miku.
Sure.
But it's just pretty much Miku for short or abbreviated.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a Secret Lair with Hatsune Miku coming out at some point. I don't know how soon.
Do we know if it's going to be like basic lands or artifacts or enchantments or sorceries or anything or a mix? Or
we have six.
Mm-hmm.
Six cards that are going to be featuring Miku. One of which, I have them all, so I'll just go over them one by one.
Oh, great. Okay.
Miku Lost But Singing.
No.
Which is Azusa Lost But Seeking. Which is, you know, the three mana 1/2, you could play some extra lands.
Yeah.
Harmonize.
Okay.
Which is a green sorcery, draw 3 cards. Another legendary creature, Miku the Renowned.
Uh-uh.
Which is a Feather the Redeemed.
Yeah.
Shelter, which is just an instant, you know, something against protection. Another card with a unique name, Miku's Spark, which is a reskin Chandra's Ignition.
That's what I was thinking it was, yeah.
And then the last one seems a bit of an oddball for our land, Inspiring Vantage, which is just a fast land for red-white. So three of them are, reskinned or renamed legendary creatures. Or sorry, Chandra's Ignition is not a legendary creature. That's just a sorcery. But they're reskin cards, while the other three are just, I guess, reprints. All six of these cards have flavor text that are unique for Miku. So the flavor text is, I'm sure, if you guys know Miku, it might be cute or clever or like, okay, that makes sense, but that's a nice touch. For me, they're just words. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's flavor text. I don't know. I mean, this one is nice. For Harmonize, sometimes it feels like the whole world is singing along with Miku.
I love Harmonize just as a card itself.
Yeah.
You know? Drawing 3 cards is strong, even just for green. Now, I will tell you, man, that I usually love spoilers, right? And I'm being for real with you. I love spoilers. And it used to be I love leaks, you know, when there's somebody that works at WotC or whatever, a packaging plant, and they're like, hey, this is a new commander deck in here. I'll take a picture of it, risk my job. You know, I used to love stuff like that. But now I'm getting more scared and scared as time goes on, man. I get more scared for the people that are doing it, if that makes sense. You know, the older I get, the more I worry and wonder, like, why would anybody go through this length just to share something that could get them potentially fired or in trouble, you know, financially?
Yeah.
I don't want to stretch it too much, but like I said, man, it used to be, wow, I can't believe this is coming out. This is so cool. And thank goodness this person did leak this. And now I'm really old and I'm just like, man, I can't believe they're risking their job. They're risking, you know, they could be sued, right? Wouldn't it be in your contract when you get hired that, you know, there's like DNA is all over the place or something?
So I have so much to say about this. So,
and, yeah, what is happening, by the way?
So specifically, Modern Horizons 3 official spoiler starts sometime next month, maybe in about 2 to 3 weeks from now.
Which is nice. I can't wait for it.
I'm still excited for it.
Yeah, me too.
They've already officially previewed certain cards, like the Fetch Lands, like Titania's, whatever elf, the one that has green for each elf you have, and then and a few other cards here and there, like one of the Eldrazi things.
They're little ticklers, you know?
But someone somehow got access to these cards when they shouldn't have, and these are like sealed product that they got access to. I think it is a single person who has been slow rolling these spoilers on purpose. For what reason, I do not know. To me, it doesn't make any sense. They've been... So, there is linked to a Twitter account after you do a little bit of digging. Actually, I think they basically came forward and said they made a little public statement, which is literally pathetic. It's linked to a Twitter account that, when you look at the history of the Twitter account, is the oldest post you can find on there as of today, which is Monday, is 4 days old. This is a brand new account.
No kidding.
This is a brand new account that they made to disguise themselves, to say, like, you know, to put these things out in the world intentionally blurry, intentionally convoluted, and you can't really make things out with a potato phone, because these things, I don't know how you have access. You're opening a pack of cards that you have access to, but you don't have access to a good phone. That's already been weird. Maybe the phone doesn't have like track my location stuff on it, to where the Pinkertons will come and knock down, you know, smash a door in.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on.
Something's fishy about it, right?
Yes. So either this is an employee, a former employee, they know an employee, this is theft. Maybe they went dumpster diving behind Wizards of the Coast and just like, oh, look what I found. I found some packs. Because, yes, they do destroy some like print runs and things like that occasionally. That's just what happens. This, like, how are they getting access to this? I don't know. But it's one person who's been leaking these things with terrible quality. It's obnoxious. And like, why are you doing this? Because you're not going to be popular. You're not going to be cool for linking these, for spoiling these. There's no benefit. There's just zero benefit to this. Some people might not like Wizards of the Coast because of, you know, money grab and you know, milking the players and this and that. Whatever. If that's what you want to think, cool. But like, how is this going to alleviate any of it? Things are still coming. You can either buy it or not buy it. You can play the game or quit. Like, let's say the Crypto Commander, let's say Wizards of the Coast sends John an email saying, hey, John, you know, we recognize your great work with the Crypto Commander. We want to give you guys a preview card for our Modern Horizons 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. This is cool. This is an email between John that I would assume you share with me, and then the two of us are going to maybe like come up with some...
Oh, you know I would. You know I would, man. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll come up with some cute little thing to like, you know, announce it to the world, and yeah, this is our preview card because, you know, we're awesome and you know, we're doing good things for the community. And then here comes this guy who steals packs or whatever you want to do and just spoils the card for us.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there goes our whole announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Like, That's messed up.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you knew it or not, but North Valley Games, one of our sponsors, had a preview card at one time.
Yeah. Falcon Wrath something something. I remember.
Oh, that's cool. You remember the card name.
Yeah, we had a card of the week. I remember.
That's cute.
Falcon Wrath Aristocrats?
Yeah, like I said, man, you know, when I was younger, because I've been playing this game for 31 years now, Nick, it was like, this is hot. This is cool. This is underground, you know, the whole spoilers. And then when leaks came about, it's like, wait a minute, leaks and spoilers are different. It's like, yeah, somebody's risking it, bro. Like, oh, man, that's hot. That's juicy, you know? And sometimes Wizards accidentally leak stuff, you know, like they're giving little test photos for Amazon or whatnot. And that gets later on when Amazon was new, kind of a thing. But
yeah, that occasionally sometimes happens, yes.
But going back to what you said, though, with a potato phone, it's like something's fishy here. You got a new phone you can go buy right now at Walmart, I don't care who you are, for $30, $40. And that's going to take a way better picture than these things.
This is... The quality of pictures looks like it's been taken from a microwave.
Yeah.
That was made 50 years ago.
No one has a phone this bad. So they're showing you, they're diluting it because they're so good at faking cards nowadays, Onique, that this could be fake. This could be a fake leak.
That's the main thing. That's one of the main concerns that I have at this point is that because of these qualities are so, the quality of the pictures are so bad, like some of them you can't see the expansion symbol, some of them you can't see the collector number, some of them you can't see like the copyright 2024 Wizards of the Coast thingy on them. Mm-hmm. Like you don't know if they're real or not. Some have old art, which you might say, okay, well, Modern Horizons 3 probably has new art, or some have new art that you can't verify because like I've never seen this before. This could be some random thing from the internet.
So it's not even worth going down card by card what we can make out with this, right?
No.
Because in my opinion, it would be a waste of our time if it wasn't real, you know? And not to mention, without clear vision of what they are, I don't want to move forward talking about it, you know? I want to honor everyone's time with this.
One of the cards that was already deemed fake. So here's another thing. Like,
oh, so it's fake. It's fake.
Well... yes and no. Like we don't know for sure. We don't know.
Okay.
I want to see higher resolution pictures and I want to see the collector number on there so I can do my own little math and figure out what's missing, what's not missing. But whatever. With how horrible these leaks have been in terms of quality and lighting and this and that, other people who have been good at making fake leaks in the past have taken advantage of this and made their own fake leaks. So at this point, you don't know what's fake and what's real. One of the cards that someone made was some legendary land for Commander that like Commander ETB triggers spice or something. And they put it out there in the world and people were like, is this real? Is this fake? I don't know. This seems busted. Wow. That one particular card was deemed to be fake because it did not have that legendary border frame around the card.
yeah.
But knowing that that is fake, you go back to the other cards, you're like, now you might be second guessing, well, if that's fake,
yep,
but it's the same, you know, horrible quality as these other leaks, are those fake too? You don't know anymore.
Yeah, you could be. Is it from the Modern Horizons 3?
They're all from Modern Horizons 3 and from the Commander portion of Modern Horizons 3.
So far, these could be fake. Yeah.
They could be fake. Some, I believe, are real. Because it just kind of makes sense with other things that we have confirmed. Mm-hmm. Some of them I believe are real just because there's a lot of loose pieces of the puzzle that all appear to be from the same puzzle box, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But others are just like, I don't know, man. That's like, if you got, like a good fake.
If you've got somebody with a lot of time on their hand, number one, number two, that's an enthusiast of Magic the Gathering, you know, they got time on their hands. They're an enthusiast. They can do a little work, almost like building a cube, because that's what you're doing, right? When you're building a set, and they can just have a field day with this. Well, then this should go in there. That should go in there. This should go in there. And it makes sense for other formats and what Wizards would do with their patterns of making a set. If you gave me the task to do this, it probably wouldn't take me a week to do it, you know, but it would take me a couple of days to do it.
you would want to think of something of how good can your fake actually get before you could deceive people. Because like, here's another thing I just thought of. What if I had enough time, had enough resources, had a, you know, good Photoshop or maybe bad Photoshop skills, and I spoiled a secret lair for Outlaws of Thunder Junction, but I had a picture of Chuck Norris on there. But it's from Walker, Texas Ranger.
And it's and it could be
you would think
believable, right?
Yes, because Walker, Texas Ranger kind of makes sense for Outlaws of Thunder Junction. You know, what if I just had it reskinned as like a different, you know, legendary creature in the card, but with Chuck on there? You know, you'd be like, okay, well, is this legit? Like,
because
you know, I mean, you could do so much with this.
Well, it's, I was going to say, because when the eyes of the ranger are upon you. I'm kidding.
Was that the theme song for the show?
It was.
I don't. It's been years. I don't remember anymore.
Decades at this point. He's still pushing those power flex machines or whatever they're called, Bowmasters.
I'm going to send Chuck Norris on the person, whoever's spoiling these Modern Horizons 3 nonsense. And get around how to kick to your jaw.
And that's the thing, too. Like you said, if you went through the trouble of, you know, creating an account, you know, setting this up, making sure, you know, you've got this believable product, and then you're going to go and take potato quality photos, it just makes me go, well, number one, that's fishy. And number two, if one of these leaks have been fake already, like it didn't have the commander border, that's like, oh, they went through the trouble of making a believable product of a leak, but yet that's fake. So it's like, oh man, people got time on their hands and they're getting good at this, Onik.
And for what clout? Like, again, if we had
just a preview card. Just to rub their hands, right? Just to rub their hands and go, I got it. Yeah, him.
If you and I had a preview card, we'd be sharing this thing everywhere. We'd be proud of it. Hell yeah, look at us. We're all stars.
Once we could legally, you know.
Right. I mean, yeah. Of course, the email's going to, because the email would say, you know, you're allowed to leak it on this certain date. Maybe it might be a certain time.
Yeah, I would drive to you.
How you do it?
I would drive to you. We'd both be holding a card corner of it and have a picture taken of us on the side. You know.
Yeah.
Totally.
Like our child or something.
Yeah.
We're expecting number three.
I would totally drive to you, man. Yeah. I mean, you know, throughout the years, there was things where spoilers weren't even a thing. You know.
Right.
It was an underground game. I remember being a child. Having a box of revised cards, and they're a little bit bigger than, you know, the pre-made deck boxes they had. And the last time I saw them was like Nuts and Bolts from like Innistrad, you know, like a long time ago or something. Not Innistrad, but first time we went to Mirrodin. Do you remember when that was?
No, it was just Mirrodin.
Mirrodin. There you go. So regular Mirrodin, they had pre-made decks. So the revised boxes were bigger than that, you know, and I carried around what I considered a deck at the time. And it was five colors because you had, you know, it came with a bunch of land and a bunch of commons, a few uncommons and like three rares. And
yeah.
So I would carry that around with me. But, you know, it was so underground. It's like, would I come across somebody that even knew how to play this game, let alone have cards for the game, you know? But now look at us. We're in an information age, you know, and this is a podcast. So there's literally, you know, tens of thousands, getting close to hundreds of thousands of people that can hear us talk about Magic the Gathering and help them out at the same time. You know?
And we want our information to be factual and actual, like legit.
Yeah.
Verified stuff. Not right. Just talking nonsense.
That's right. We don't really talk about speculative stuff. We never have, and I always try to keep that out of the program, you know. If you want that, it's probably other content creators covering that for you, you know. But it, like I said, man, it's just it. Throughout the years, I never would think that, you know, something sour like this would come into the community. And it's a big community. It's a worldwide community at this point, not just the United States, where it originated from.
Yeah.
You know, the program, the Cryptic Commander, it's always been uppity, right? Like as far as tone, the vibes, and toward the end, it's just some kind of piece of negative news. And that's not scripted on purpose. It's just been the way things have been. Because there's always a little bit of negativity somewhere. And it's not that we're finding it on purpose. You know, it was brought to our attention recently too, the whole spoiler thing, you know, the leak. One time I remember listening to the Crypto Commander where it was, we were laughing about the plagiarism, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not that I like to laugh at things a lot, but I just try to look at life. I remember something one of my brothers taught me. Life is what you make of it. And I like to make lighthearted of certain situations because it gets me through it easier, I guess. And the whole spoiler thing was really hot for me when I first learned about the whole internet scene with spoilers, because when the internet was prevalent with Magic the Gathering, because remember, Magic was in 93, the internet was about then too.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was using a Google. They didn't, Google wasn't a thing. It was like Internet Explorer, your browser, where you would type in www. And then the web address, and then .com. You would never do these shortcut methods. You know, that wasn't a thing at all.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that was not a thing at all, man. I'm a dinosaur hero, Nick, right? And if you were looking things up Magic the Gathering, maybe you had a description of something, but that wasn't even a thing. There was no way you're going to find anything about Magic the Gathering online. Now, fast forward to like 2000, then you can find people's ideas of building a deck list, but they weren't really like public knowledge about the pro levels. And then I think about 2005, you start getting information about that. You know, we can't go back and get early video of pro tours because, well, there's a few of them we can't find, but they didn't exist.
Yeah, because
you know,
they probably just didn't think that recording these things was
important. Yeah, important at all, right? It was just kids having fun, and
or just even have the funding for it.
Yeah. But now look at us, man. It's like you don't even want to miss a heartbeat, brother. You know?
Yeah.
And some people still don't know about it. Some people don't know about the game. Some people don't know about the pro level scene. And here we're covering it each and every week, man. God love you, Onik. I really appreciate you helping me through this each and every week, bud. And
of course, anytime.
I go back to one of our episodes with James who? Do you remember James?
Yeah.
And
it's a magic, yeah.
Something he told me and you behind the scenes, he's like, God love you, brothers, because you guys are doing something I can't do. You guys are doing this on a consistent basis, and you guys keep doing it, you know, and that's what it takes. So, you know, I can't thank you enough. I do want to remind everybody that we are proudly sponsored by North Valley Games, and you can go to northvalleygames.com, and you can create an account. It only takes a couple of seconds because they only need your email address, Onik. That's it. So they can notify you when your cards are ready. So you can pick them up if you're local. If not, well, they'll mail them to you. And there's a promo code. Actually, there's two of them, right? The first one saves you 10% off your whole purchase. Or if you're submitting a buy list, you can get an additional 10%. That promo code is TCC2021. Just like the Crypto Commander 2021. And the other promo code is free pack. Now that one, you got to spend $25 or better, and they'll just straight up give you a free draft pack. I think that's what it was, right, Onik? Draft pack?
I think it was a draft pack, yeah.
Yeah, but they don't exist anymore, so that's a cool thing, and we still have them at the store. What's funny is,
I mean, it's really only from two sets ago, so it's not like that ancient.
It's going to be more ancient than what you think, because I got Dominaria and War of the Sparks, and those things straight up say booster packs. They don't say draft or nothing, just booster
packs. Oh, right. Dominaria and not Dominaria United. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the original Dominaria, and I got War of the Sparks, and I got some Kaladesh and Aether Revolt. All of them just say booster packs on them. So yep. The fact that some say draft or set, will be ancient in the future. I don't think collectors are going anywhere, man.
No, they're not.
Right? So I think that when they first hit the scene, I probably was against them. You know, I probably still am. Like, I can't afford to justify 25, 35, let alone $50 for one pack unless I'm going to play the lottery here or something, which I've done before. I bought a collector pack to play the lottery. I sure have. Lord of the Rings one. Got one of the expensive lands. I forget which one it was.
I bought one pack and I got absolute junk.
Yeah. A lot of it from the Lord of the Rings is going to be, man. But when you hit one of the money cards, you're like, oh, yeah, that's $250.
I probably got $2.50.
Ouch, from a collector pack? Yeah.
Yeah.
And those things are up to like $40-$50 a pack nowadays. I'm rambling on. And I want to remind everybody, you know, our sponsors, you know.
Well, I do want to mention one more quick thing before we let you guys go, or you can go now. But listen to me talk about my cube. Again, as always. I did manage to play my cube yesterday, got some guys together. There were six total, so this time we actually did a draft as opposed to like having four. We just do some sealed, which that's fine too, but draft is where it's at. So the six of us, we did a draft. It was, as always, is a ton of fun. Let me find my thing.
I do want to ask you too, not to cut you off, but do you guys do one-on-one, or do you do like a tournament style thing, or?
Well, it's always one-on-one. I will never do multiplayer with my... Well, okay, I'll take that back. I would consider doing multiplayer with my cube if everyone's willing to do that. But with six people, that's not really a thing. Mm. You could do team draft, which is still one-on-one, but it's you're basically playing a giant best of nine, kind of like a tic-tac-toe sort of thing. Mm. But you're not really going for three in a row. You're just going for like five out of nine.
I've even went as far as done Emperor before.
But the cube went really well, the draft portion of it. Out of the six of us, I was literally the only person who played black.
Oh, nice.
And I was mono black. Like, pack one, pick one, Sheldred. Pack two was like a green, green-black dual land of some sort. Pack three, another black card. And then at the point when I got pack four in my hand, it was like a ton of red, a ton of black. So I was probably going to start dipping into red. And then when pack two came around, all the red disappeared and everything was still full black. So I'm like, I guess I'm going to go mono black. Pack three came around, like literally every black card wheeled. And there are times where I just could not take all the black cards because there were like three black cards in a pack and it just wouldn't wheel. Because it either wheeled every time or the pack ran out and I just couldn't take it. But drafting cube is always fun. First place went to like a Bant good stuff control list. Second place went to a Gruul. Oh my god. Sneak attack put out Gruff Triplets against me. Do you remember what the card does? Gruff Triplets?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
The
green one from Wilds of Eldraine, yeah.
Yeah, that when it enters the battlefield, you make two more copies of it.
Strong, yeah.
So I had three threes coming at me. I blocked, I think a chump block because I didn't have big creatures out yet. And then at the end of turn, the original copy was sacrificed because that's what sneak attack does. So then the other two became 6/6 each. So that's 12 damage still on the field. And I'm like, I can't deal with this. This is ridiculous.
Rough triplets. So I call them three Billy Goats Gruff, you know?
They were the rough triplets. I got third place. Fourth place was like a teamer mid-range, I suppose. It's not really specific archetypes. Fifth place was like a Boros aggro. And then sixth place was a Selesnya +1/+1 counter attempt, but he just had too many small creatures out and didn't really have any way to finish out the game. Or he just drew the cards in the wrong order, unfortunately. But yeah, that's it for my cube. This was the most fun I've had playing my cube in a very long time, and hopefully I can do it again this coming weekend.
There's going to be some conversations about the cube format in general coming up in later episodes of the Cryptic Commander. There's a couple that comes to my game store and they bring a cube with them, and there's been some interactions with them that I think we need to bring to light on the show. So look forward more for that. Exactly. Look more forward for that, guys. It's going to do it for this week's episode. And also, if you don't know, I'm going to remind you, if you do know, just, you know, sometimes people forget things. We have a Facebook group, The Cryptic Commander, a YouTube, we're not doing too much on. Onik, a friend of mine was trying to find a HD camera, and he's a YouTuber. So mm-hmm. I sold him mine, and he told me I can use it whenever I need it kind of thing. And I'm like, you know, right now I'm not doing the YouTube side of things too much. And if I do, I can use pre-existing footage or whatever I need to in the meantime. But I haven't really pushed YouTube too much these days. Not to say that I'm not going to go back to it, because I plan to and use YouTube. Who wouldn't this day and age, right?
Right.
So look, be on the lookout for more Cube talk in later episodes.
I'm very much looking forward to that. You know this.
Oh, I know you are. And as always, people, thank you for listening to the Crypto Commander. We appreciate you guys taking your time out today. Let us know what you think. On the end of every episode, I leave a box, and the program allows me to do that, to let the listeners do a Q&A section. We ask you a question, and you guys fill out the answer. What do you think of today's episode? Don't be shy. Let us know. We like feedback. We can't move forward or grow without feedback, so let us know what you guys think. And until next time, keep spell slinging.